To get a hold of the CD because it's interesting. Today we're going to focus primarily on love versus infatuation. So this is going to be very good for the singles as well. But I found a video of a young lady who had suffered the problems that we all suffer on that first dating relationship where everyone's telling us we acting like we lost our mind. My mother said, you dating that girl, she got your nose wide open. That's what my mother said about Helen. That girl got your nose wide open, and my nose was wide open. I was infatuated, I was happy, it was all good. But this young lady here, she started giving herself and the things that people tend to do when they think infatuation is love. And even though it's 10 minutes long, I wanted us to hear it because this is a young person who just came out of a bad relationship. But she's very wise, and she's learned from her mistakes, and I think we can learn from her. Let's hear her testimony.
Okay, well, awesome. New subject here. Could it be love or could it be infatuation? Those are two really close things as well. So some things we're going to look at here is, first thing first, infatuation is like obsession. And when you know, whenever someone says, I fell in love with them at first sight. Oh my gosh, I loved them the first day I saw them. Well, you know what? You know what I think about that? I think from my experience and from what I've learned is just that you can't love someone right off the bat. You can definitely have feelings for them. You can actually just fall in love with the way they smell, fall in love with the way their voice sounds. You can fall in love with, you know, their hair or their looks or, you know, the way they walk. Totally possible. But love in itself, love takes time. You have to know someone to love them. So if you don't know them, how do you know you love them? So, infatuation, it doesn't take time. It's like a wildfire. It's really quick. It happens so fast. And it's really quite dangerous, infatuation, because it's just so quick and so now that it really just threatens you as a person. Infatuation, it's like whenever, okay, let's say you have a best friend. You stop spending time with your best friend. You stop talking to your parents. You stop going to events. You stop hanging out with people in general. You stop doing things you usually do. And then you start doing things that you never thought you would do because of the person. You never thought you would lie to get time to spend with that person. You never thought you never thought you would hide so much from people. You never thought that you would have this feeling inside you like you do right now about that person. And we confuse that stuff with love. And it's like, okay, so you have a best friend, you're about to go over to her house, you have a mom that you haven't seen in ages, you have, you know, just an event that you've always wanted to go to, and then you find out, you know what, you have an opportunity to be with the person that you're infatuated with, and you choose them over the other things that you thought were so important to you. And it doesn't realize, you don't realize these things at that moment because you're just so blinded by the person and the feelings that you have for that person that you don't even notice that you're missing out and you're taking away all this time and all these opportunities just to be with the person that you could be with any time of the day. And you're changing. Little by little you're changing. You don't even realize it. And you tend to have an attitude, or you're aggravated, or you're angry when you're not with the person. You're not with them, and it's like you're a totally other person. And people are pointing this out. People are noticing that you're acting different. People are noticing that you're growing angry easily, and you don't even know why that you're growing angry or you're agitated with the people. You just know that you are, but it's really because they're not there with you, they have to be there with you in order to bring out the best in you. And it's almost like you guys are two halves of one whole. And you're two halves, and you come together, and you're one whole, and then you bring out the best in each other. But separate, you're the worst. It's like you're missing yourself. You lose yourself with the person, and you're two totally different people. And the thing, though, is when you're in love with someone, you're two wholes. You're yourself without the person. You can be without the person. You can stand the time without the person. You can stand the distance without the person. You can be yourself, and you come together and you bring out the best in each other. And people love seeing you together, and people love seeing you guys apart. They can handle that. But infatuation, it's like you don't want to be with a person if they're not with their boyfriend or girlfriend, because you're not going to act right. They're being weird, and they're being mean, and you know, it's just, you notice these things in people's relationships, and you need to notice these things in your relationship too. If you're starting to avoid friends, avoid family, avoid events because you want to spend time with a person, then maybe, just maybe, you're infatuated with the person and you need to let go a little bit and know that love doesn't need the person to be there 24/7. And actually, you know, the distance actually helps a little because it makes your love grow stronger. Infatuation can't stand distance. It can't stand time. If you're not physically present with the person, it just can't stand it. It goes crazy. It goes haywire, and that's not how love should be. That's infatuation. And it's like infatuation and lust also have huge comparisons with each other. They go hand in hand. When you're in lust with someone and you're infatuated with someone, if you aren't alone with the person and if you have to not be able to touch the person, then you grow angry and mad and jealous. And if people get to spend time with that person and you don't, you're angry and you're mad and you're jealous. You just want to lock up and you want to lock them up in a closet, and you don't want anybody to touch them because you're obsessed with the person. If you don't get to spend time with them, then no one gets to spend time with them. That's how that attitude is. And it's almost like you don't take into consideration the people around you. All you care about is that person and fulfilling the needs of that person and making that person want you. And it becomes less about you even. It's like you even forget about yourself. You lose yourself to the person. And that's just so dangerous because you're losing yourself. You're losing who you are. You're losing happiness unless the person's there. And it's not healthy for you. And it changes your whole entire lifestyle. It's just, you're no longer you, and people liked you for you, and that person liked you for you. And then whenever you start changing for the person, because infatuation loves similarities, and if there's any differences, they want to change that about you. Infatuation doesn't like differences. Everything has to be the same. And whenever there is a difference, they want to change it. With love, if there is a difference between you two, you accommodate to the difference, and you want to make the person a better person if it's a bad difference. But if it's a good difference, then it's okay. And you're okay with that, and you go with it. But no, infatuation, it's like, everything has to be alike, and they're focusing on likes, but they don't notice, or they want to ignore, or they want to change the differences. And it's rushful. Infatuation is just so rushing, and like lust, it's gotta have it now. It's gotta be with you now. I have to touch you now. I have to hear your voice now. It's urgent. It's urgent and fast-paced. And in love, the distance and the time with love can't amount to anything because they know they'll love you through the distance, through the time, after the distance, after the time. Infatuation, the distance and the time hurts it. It's like, if I have to wait this long, I won't stand for it. I'll go crazy. If we have this distance between each other, if I can't touch you for this long, I'm gonna go crazy. That's not love. It's not. So I really hope you guys could take some of this advice that I'm giving you and some of these tips and some of these clues for your relationship and really think about it. Are people pointing out that you are being weird without the person around you? Are people pointing out that you're having an attitude? Are people pointing out that you're not hanging out with them anymore? Are they pointing out that you no longer come around the place that you usually are anymore? Are they pointing out that, you know, you're doing crazy and stupid and silly things just to be with the person? Are you lying to be with that person? Are you lying to make it sound like you two have a healthy relationship when really you don't? The other thing is, infatuation doesn't have to be two people having an infatuation with each other. One person can be infatuated with the other person, and even though the other person's like, I don't like you and I don't love you and this is just us, you know, and I don't have those kind of feelings for you, the person who's infatuated will convince themselves that you will fall in love with them, that you will like them, and they will make that happen. And they are persistent, and they are urgent, and they are manipulative. and they will do anything in their power to get you and to make sure that you love them. And they will want you to prove your love to them, and they will use words against you, and they will make you sound like a bad person because they are so obsessed with you. This is what someone's doing, or if this is what you're doing to someone, it's infatuation. Love doesn't want to manipulate someone. Love is patient. Love will be like, okay, if you don't love me, that's fine, and they can live without you. You know, love can live without someone because they want that person to be happy, but infatuation, they don't think about the other person's happiness. They just want you now. They want to satisfy themselves, and that obsession that they have with you, and it's persistent, and it's overwhelming, and it's manipulative. So notice these things when you're in the relationship, please, because don't be like me and a bunch of other people who we didn't notice it until after all this confusion and after all the trouble and all the struggle and after people telling us, you know what, you're not the same anymore. That's why I'm telling you guys these things, because I don't want you guys to realize this later on. You have to realize this now.
You need to realize this now. Can you feel her pain? She's been there, but she's responding very well to it. She's been hurt. Love, or what people call love, which was infatuation, was not what it promised to be. She got hurt by it, and I like that she learned, because she's given, I mean, I can say amen and go home right now. She's given a lot of good information to let you know that love and infatuation kind of can get confused because of the way it feels. But infatuation really is a feeling, and love is a commitment. Let's bow in prayer as we get into the word on this issue. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today, and as always, for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for leading, guiding, and directing us today as we speak and as we share, Father. We thank you so much that the word is revealed unto your people. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement say, amen. Well, last week in our last session, we defined the four words that translated love in the Bible. I suggested you get a hold of that CD. It's a good teaching. And we examine the most important one, which is agape, the God kind of love, the kind of love we're talking about, the kind of love that gets you through the hard spots, the kind of love that keeps you married even when things aren't good. Because in life, if you live long enough, there's a phrase I use that says life happens. And it's probably not original with me, but life does happen. I counsel people on a regular basis because life happened in their relationship. And life will sometimes do that. I promise you, if you keep living, life's going to happen. Now, love will get you through that. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will help you control your emotions when you're going through things. Love is an awesome, powerful thing. God is love. If a person, to the measure the person has love for another person, it's the measure that they have God in their relationship. And we need to know the agape type, because I'm telling you, I promise you, it is harder to stay married than to break up, and it's impossible to stay married and break up if you're not going to learn love. The best you can get if you're not going to learn to walk in love is an unhappy marriage. That's the best you can get, is an unhappy marriage. And that's nothing anybody wants, and that's nothing what we walk down the aisle for. So how do we have a wonderful marriage? How do we have a marriage full of joy and happiness? How are we going to have a marriage that's intimate and close, this thing we desired, the thing that life's promised us? We're going to have to learn to do it God's way and learn to love. So today we're going to contrast love and infatuation. Let's look at our text again quickly. When I say love, this is what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. This is the definition of love. We took time to explain it, so I encourage you to get the CD. I'm just going to read it today. This is the love we're talking about. And notice, this love has nothing to do with how the other person acts, what they do or did, or how they treat you. If you say you love somebody, that's your decision alone. It has nothing to do with how they made you feel, or I love them long as they do this. It has no conditioner at all. It doesn't even address the other person. It just says, if you're going to say you love somebody, this is what you should do and what you should be. It says, love endures long and is patient and it is kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights, its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. On the next slide, it continues with verse 6. Love does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. This is the kind of love we're talking about when we say a love that's going to keep people married together happily over the course of time. It's a love that's going to ride through the bumps and take the lumps of life. Let's take a look here and contrast infatuation and love, which are often mistaken. On the next slide, you see a chart there. We're going to spend some time on this chart. This chart shows, for the purposes of the tape, on the y-axis, it shows percentage of intensity. On the x-axis, it shows passage of time. And it shows love increases in a relationship with the patches of passage of time, and infatuation decreases in a relationship with the passage of time. So therefore, if you remember your geometry and algebra, love and infatuation are inversely proportional. As one increases, the other decreases. As one decreases, the other increases. People run into relationship, they look at somebody, go out a few times, and dare say, I love you. Now, according to this chart, it's not possible to love someone like that because you don't know them. God can love me so much he sent Jesus to die because God knows me. He knows me better than know myself. But when I first met my wife, I didn't know her. So if I met her at a restaurant and later through a friend, if I met her and I said after the first date, we went to Cedar Point Amusement Park, we had a great day, it was a lot of fun. If I came back and said, girl, I love you, I probably would have been lying. Now I ain't saying I didn't feel like I loved her, but love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. Infatuation is a feeling. So a lot of times what people should say, to be honest, is, girl, I infatuate you. That doesn't sound as nice, but it's true. Because I don't know her well. She might be an axe murderer. She might be a nut. She might be possessive, jealous, crazy, mean, inconsiderate to people, ill-mannered, ill-tempered, all the things I don't like. Because I went out and we had a nice day. I loves you, girl. Now, that sounds really ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what happens all the time. Because we jump on the feeling of infatuation, and we call it the commitment of love, and then we get married. Some people stay in that for a long time, and they run off and get married real fast. They don't know the person, and things begin to happen. Life begins to happen. Write down that love is a commitment, infatuation is a feeling. They're inversely proportional. The higher the intensity the love is, the more rewarding the relationship will be. The higher the intensity, now that makes sense. The more love you got in a relationship, the better the relationship. The more love, not the more infatuation. Now people think because, oh, they're just so wonderful, and I just love them. They just got, God gave them to me. God put us together. I was believing, and God gave me my soulmate, and she and I, we're just like this, and we're like two peas in it. All that stuff is nonsense. Oh, that's crazy. And none of that love. People talking like that are infatuated. I love my wife with all my heart, but I wouldn't be pokey, pokey, snooky. I can't make it without you, pokey. You leave the room and I feel like the world has come to an end. No, I don't. I feel like you're gone. I'm doing what I'm doing. And that don't mean I don't love you. That's more so that I don't have to be with you every minute and sitting under you and staring at you and goo-goo-eyed to love you. I love you because of the commitment I have to you. Not because the feeling I create in my mind, which you'll find out is nothing but a chemical reaction of endorphins, which leads to sex and sexual drive. So people literally who are infatuated are just high right then on what they perceive. When you look at somebody and something about them you see or you hear or the way they walk or the shape of her curves or his pecs or something, something triggers in your brain, whew, and that little endorphin kicks out. Dopamine kicks out and you're like, yeah, I think I'm in love. Yeah, love is literally a chemical. It's literally chemical. It's designed for men and women to be attracted to one another. Something that's in your subconscious mind that you like fires, and all of a sudden you get a feeling. And when people make life decisions based on their feelings, they're not only unwise, they're just literally being foolish. And people get married on that, then they talk about I'm unhappily married. Well, if you got married on infatuation, you rolled the dice. You get what you get and you don't complain. If you want a loving relationship, you got to realize you're going to put time dating. Anybody trying to marry you, and I always say in America, as crazy as folk are, anybody trying to marry less than 2 years, you need to tell them to slow their roll. You need to slow down. Now, I'm not going to pick a magic number just in my near 30 years of counseling. I say about 2 years. You go to some places where people are more mature. Sometimes people are older and more mature. But most people, particularly all these people under 30, they need to wait at least 2 years, because you need to get that person tasked that you can talk to their friends and their parents and see what they're really about. Because folks hide for a long time. And if they hide trying to get you to marry them on infatuation, you think they're going to be like that, and they aren't really like that, you're going to be on that roller coaster, and you ain't going to like that bus ride with that person sitting next to you for the next 50 years. You are not going to like that. And most of your relationship is going to be the marriage, not the dating. Most of it's going to be the marriage. So if you want to be happy with that person, you have to make sure that love is of substantial point. Now, here's something else about it. I'm going to read that one more time. The higher the intensity of the love, the more rewarding relationship, and the less disappointment the marriage is going to have. Because remember, in premarital counseling, I try and get people's expectations within normalcy or within reason. Because most people believe this, way up here. Oh, it's going to be this. It's going to be all that. That's why I tell people, name three to five things you just absolutely hate about that person. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with them, Pastor. We just in love. And God, they just perfect. God just made them for me. I said, you need to date longer. You really need to date longer. You shouldn't be getting married. You know, I don't sit here and tell me they're perfect, because I know them. They came in here with you. I know them. Don't tell me they're perfect. You just hadn't dated long enough that you're still infatuated, so your mind is still twisted. You're still drugged out. And if you get married when you're drugged out, that drug wears out. And when it wears out and you start saying, I was blind, but now I see. Infatuation is totally blind. Love always has his eyes open. Love sees, but love doesn't take account of it. And that's what you need. I tell people when they come into premarital counseling, I said, first thing you do, if you lie to counseling, you're not going to bother me. You're not going to hurt me at all. You're going to hurt yourself. Everybody deserves to be loved for exactly who they are. With their good, their bad, and their ugly, they deserve to be loved. But when you come in tricking people and pretending like you're not something and hiding information from the other person, they don't know if when they said I do, you're the I do they said. So they feel lied to. And they feel that way because they were lied to when you're not honest in the dating relationship. And people don't feel as trapped as you think they're going to feel. Folks will just go down to court and divorce you. So it is not good to think you're going to trick somebody in marriage. Now I got you. Now all the skeletons come out. Do you still love me? They say, I didn't know that's who you were. The person I married is not you. I feel like I got a bum deal. I want out. And although you're not supposed to do that, they do it anyway. Because again, they didn't love you. But if you love them, you wouldn't hide things. I want you to know who I am because I deserve to be loved for me. I'm not perfect. And I want you to know that, but I want somebody who loves me because I'm going to love somebody, even though they're not perfect. That's a relationship. Not a relationship based on lies and hidden things, two people both pretending. I was watching a comedian the other day and he had a joke. He said, now, how many people came in here with a date, and they put their hands up? He said, oh, you know what? That person who you dating, that ain't the person you marry. That ain't them. That person right there is somebody else. If you met, that's somebody else you sitting next to. Because he said, then he went on with a series of jokes of what people do. They hide this, they hide that, they hide the other. Then you marry them and say, there wasn't nothing like that. And he said, they start off and they're like, baby, I love you, and it's pookie pookie, and he don't realize how good he was preaching. And they were all laughing. He said, baby, you pookie pookie, and he said, then he turned around. He said, when you first start dating, and you say something, you say you're a guy, and you say, and the girl gets upset, I'm about to go get something over here. Did you want me to get you something? Oh, yeah, baby, I love you. Get me something. Could you get, you want a little bit more tea? Yeah, baby, give me a little more tea. How much you want, baby? Oh, fill it up, baby. Go ahead, fill it up. You know what? And they just, oh, okay, thank you. And just come back, and the family look at everybody good, infatuation going on. And then next year you get married, and you be like, baby, could you give me some tea? You got hands. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. What happened to that person I married? I ate her. No, I mean, like, you different. You changed. You changed. They didn't change. You didn't date them long enough till you stopped saying they're hiding. That's why I said folks can't keep a facade up forever. And you need to date them long enough to see the good, the bad, and the ugly to see if that's the combination I want. Because some things I can accept. I'm not looking for a perfect person. But I don't want that, and I don't want that, and I need to know if you're that before I marry you.
I don't like this, that, or other, but I accept that. I'm going to be happy with that because, hey, that's not that big deal. But you might not really like that, and it might really be that. And if you don't date them long enough because you get married on the feeling and you're trying to keep the feeling, so you're trying to go to the next level relationship, rather than sex and all this other stuff, which is not the next level unless you're on your way to hell. That's not the next level. Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. If you say you love them, you better get married. Don't be talking about you having sex because you love them. That is straight up because you lust them, because you're infatuated with them. That's all that is. That is never, ever love. I told you, the guy or girl that says, I love you so much, I can't keep my hands off you, they love themselves. And I'm not picking on anybody because that's almost everybody. But you love yourself. You're not doing that person any favor. Oh, I love you so much, girl, I can't keep my hands off you. You love you so much, you can't keep your hands off me, and you need to grow up in love because I ain't having that. Or vice versa, girl trying to give you a little taste of it, get you on the hook. Baby, you know what? I liked you up until then. I ain't trying to, who else you throwing it out like that to? That's not what I want in a lady. I want you to respect yourself. I want to know I got a prize, not some leftovers. Not picking on you, but if it's you, I didn't call your name, just change. Go that way and sin no more. Men and women, stop being whores and whoremongers. That's what it is. That's what the Bible calls it. When people don't like words like that. Folks been there. I ain't throwing no stones at anybody. But we all have to stop that because that is not holy. It's not godly. And it's not helpful. It's the infatuation trying to keep the adrenaline going, trying to keep the flow going. And people who go into that and they get too close too soon, it never is rewarded. Usually they give all themselves. They can't keep it going. Then they find out a person won't marry them because the person didn't marry them. I mean, the person didn't love them. And you done gave everything there is to give, and then they won't marry you. They didn't love you. And you see it happen all the time. People come in. That's why they talk about, I'm just trying it out, and we just date, and, you know, we having sex, and I want, and all this nonsense. Most of those relationships do not last, and they say that when they get married, they usually will break up then because there's not any love there. It's based upon infatuation. And you can't build a loving relationship when you got an infatuated relationship because the two are inversely proportional. To the measure you have the one is the measure you don't have the other. The two of them together make up 100% of what your relationship is. Let's take a look at some of the practical things that happen. Remember, infatuation's motivation is feelings. When everybody talk about what they feel, that's all infatuation. But Pastor Cook, don't love have feelings too? Love doesn't have to have any feelings at all. Love will have some feelings, but love is when I'm dating you or we're married or whatever and certain things happen and I'm not feeling good about what just happened and I'm not feeling good about you. That don't affect me loving you. I still love you. But when it's infatuation, you don't make me feel that's why I don't love you. Because that never was love. That was always infatuation. Because infatuation is motivated and stipulated and manipulated by feelings. Oh, I feel so wonderful around you. I'm sure you do. That's nice. But I need to know, are you committed to me before I commit to you? I need to know if this thing is real. I don't need to care about how you feel. I need to know if this thing is real. And you got to date long enough till you get down to the reality of your relationship, not the pretendness. But let's say again, love again is motivated by feeling. Infatuation is motivated by feelings, and love is motivated by commitment. This is my joyful, intended, purposeful commitment. I love you. Forsaking all other women, I love her. Somebody come and say, Pastor Cook, I said, you don't respect the ring. I know what kind of woman you are. I don't want it. But she treats me better than you. It don't matter how anybody treats me. I love her. And because I love her and committed to her, I will commit to our relationship to improve me and to work with her. But when people haven't ruled out forsaking all others, and their thing is now, as long as you make me feel, then I love you. That's not going to work. It's going to be a one-sided relationship. Love is going to be, it doesn't matter how you treat me. I like you to treat me well. I hope I picked well, but it doesn't matter how you treat me. I still love you. Isn't that how God is? No matter what you do, he still loves you. That's agape. It's not based on the condition. That's why they don't say anything about the other person. They keep talking about how you respond to the other person, nothing about how they respond to you. And when people come to counseling, they come into office, and they get married, they get married on stuff about, I just love the way you make me feel right now. As you know, being with them is so awesome. It's like I was half a person and my other half, and I'm a whole person. And they just go on with all that stuff. And all that is talking about what the other person does for them. They ain't said nothing about what they do to them. Nobody comes and say, Pastor Cook, I feel I'm a whole person in my life and I don't need anything and I want to share my life with somebody else. I choose to give to this person. I want to marry somebody because I want to give to them. Because love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. But people don't come and talk about giving. They start talking about what they do for them. And that's what they think is love, because they're standing right in front of you just as proud. Oh, she makes me feel so good. Pastor Good, she's so fine. Pastor Good, he is a good man, and I just feel so secure around. They still talk about I. Expressing all that as a sign that you don't know the person and you haven't committed to them in love. You are stuck on what they do for you. And infatuation is always excited about what they can get from the other person, how the other person makes them feel, or what it does for them. Love is not selfish or self-seeking. It is not sister on its own way. But when people get married on infatuation and start having those things happen in their relationship, guess what? You didn't get married on love. You were infatuated with them and deceived because it feels, and the world is always telling you, oh, he knew what I wanted before I even thought it. Ooh, I want a man like that. Ooh, I read the Harlequin Romance, and it's like, and as I walked by, I felt his glance on my neck. Stalker! You know. But that plays, this is the devil playing right into the emotional makeup of a woman. Because that don't work for a man. But a man, the Playboy channel would be like, duh! Yeah, eyes jumping out the head. They show them what they want to see, the eye candy. That's why girls dress so sleazy, is because they want to attract a man. You can be very tasteful and still be modern. But nowadays, they just throw it out there. Like they say, the skirt's so short as a belt, you know, the tops are dropping and the bottoms are rising, you know? That's a long belt you got on there, girl. You ought to go get a skirt on. Always having to be real careful, like, you know. You know? You can't do, but hey, pick that pencil up. That's too short. Okay, that's too short. If you can't move around, that's too short. It used to be a time you look up a dress. Now you just look. Ain't no up involved. Ladies, Christian women, that's not what you want to be. And any man that you really want, I used to tell girls, I think I told Deanna, I said, Deanna, if you dress like meat, you're going to draw wolves. And is that what you really want? You only want wolves if you're insecure. You need the attention of any man, just a man. Lord, just give me an amen. I said, don't be praying for no amen, because you're going to get amen. You better pray for a man of God. Pray for a real man. That's what you need to pray for, because they got a whole lot of amen out there, and you'll get them and say, amen. You know, Pastor, I married a man. I said, you did, but it's all right. He married a woman. But I said, what you want to do is you want to look and be men and women of God, because if you're trying to get God's results, you can't have a relationship be done the world's way. You can't try to substitute love with infatuation, because they don't work the same. They are inversely proportional. They are opposite, and they will produce opposite results in your relationship. But the world, Satan himself, cons and passes off the love of God with infatuation. He passes it off. Let's look here. Here's a huge difference between a relationship that's held together by feelings versus one that's held together by commitment. Let's take a look here. Looking at those points there, I should have had my little light beamer thing. But you see where you got the 25% in the B and you got the 75% in the B? Looking at that point, those points there, if you look at the top point, in a relationship, there's not much time. I put A, B, C, D, because it depends on maturity to people, how much communicative dating to do versus sitting there watching movies and riding roller coasters, but going to parks and talking, spending time in the library, sitting and getting to know one another. That time varies. I can't say after 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years exactly, because it's going to vary, depends on maturity to people. But when you reach the point where you've got 25% of love and 75% of infatuation, that's gonna be different than when you reach 25% infatuation and 75% love. Because your relationship between the two is made up of different proportions of love and infatuation, and love is what you want. Now let's look at what can happen. Let's take, for example, let's deal with the issue of pregnancy outside of marriage. So I've got somebody in counseling, got pregnancy outside of marriage, and I find out in their relationship that they're at point A, all infatuation. They met at the club, had a one-night stand, a one-week stand, one-month stand, whatever. They don't really know each other, but they sexed each other up. And she says, I'm pregnant. And he says, that's not my baby. He's got no commitment to her. He's got no love for her. Baby, why didn't you get some protection? Why didn't you do something? Don't you love me? Think about himself. You said you love me. I say anything. I do love you. You need to know when he's saying love, son, we have been dating for all of 24 hours. You do not love me. If we ain't just met 4 hours ago on the dance floor. I think that's the world, not the church. I hope I'm talking to the church audience. We don't have nothing like that going on. But you have it going on in the world. People go, well, you can look on the internet and talk about for a hookup. Women that want to have a sex partner. Whores that don't want to pay. Yeah, what are you talking about? Prostitutes, a new way to prostitute, you know? New way to be a prostitute. Single moms want someone to inside or some kind of mess like that. Friends with benefits, all kind of nonsense to cover up just whores and whoremongers. Don't let them dress it up and make it sound acceptable. They make homosexuality sound acceptable. Sin, shall not enter the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. I didn't make it up. But it's true. People going around playing games. Well, we almost married. He got me an engaged. He got me a promise ring. He ain't promised nothing but to have sex with you. That's all he promised you. Don't be promised when we get married. When we get married, we're married. To the end, we are not. No promise. I promise to marry you someday. People talk about engagements and all that. That ain't in the Bible. You can have engagement. No sin in having it. But don't put weight in it like it's something. It's a worldly custom. You know, don't put a whole lot of weight in it. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean, well, now that you got my ring and your promise to me, now we can have sex. No, it doesn't mean that. You're still not married. But look here again. This girl's pregnant. It's all eight. She gets pregnant. The guy says, that ain't my baby. Or, how you know it's mine? Because, you know, I ain't trying to say nothing, but we only went out once. And I know what kind of girl you are, kind of girl to get with a guy after going out once. So I'm not sure. That's my baby. It ain't like he's making an unreasonable assumption. And I know a girl will feel bad in that situation. If you've been there, I'm not picking on you. Go that way and sin no more. But I'm saying it's still true for these girls who hadn't been told that lie. You, that man does not love you. What you feel for him after 4 or 5 hours a week is not love. I'm telling you so you know the truth and don't get deceived. That is not love, because love cannot happen. There's no such thing as I fell in love. You fall into infatuation. You don't fall into love. You cannot fall in love. Love is too mature. It's established on time. There's no falling in love. Otherwise, I guess they got divorced because they fell out of love. You got divorced because you didn't have enough love. No, I mean, it's him, it's him. It's still you talk about him, about your love walk. Your love walk is yours. Well, she didn't, and you still talk about her, and it's your love walk that has to do with your relationship, not their love walk. It'd be nice if they did, only if you insist on your own way and demand the other person, and you didn't marry somebody you're going to love regardless, but you lied and said, I'm going to love you until. We need to get two people fighting to love each other, not two people fighting because the other person didn't love them. Somebody's got to have some love up in hell. Love and infatuation. So we got point A, 100% infatuation, zero love. That ain't my baby. Girl, you know what? How come he don't answer my calls no more? How come he won't talk to me no more? Because he's like, she's pregnant, I'm out of here. Does it happen? It happens. Guys, just turn on a girl. Just turn. No love at all. No concern, no consideration, not wanting to pay, nothing. He was totally infatuated with you. It was all a thrill. He enjoyed the moment. Baby, we only did it one time. All kind of reasons. Because why does he sound like that? Why can't he be so cruel and so insensitive? Because he doesn't love you. Not even in the least bit. He's turned his back on you when you said you got you and the child. He's turned his back on you. But let's say we've gone out a couple of months or something. We know a little bit about each other, but we still... Point B, 75% infatuated, 25% love, and the girl gets pregnant, what might he do? He might say, let's abort the baby. Let's just kill our love. Let's kill the product of our lust, really, but let's just kill it. Dude, you trying to involve me in a murder? What you talking about? Kill? What you talking about? That's a part of us. Aren't you going to marry me? Well, you know, we just really got to think about this now. Because he doesn't love you. He still doesn't love you. He had sex with you, got a little longer, took a little time. But he still is mostly your relationship is you and him being infatuated with each other, getting the horse carriage way out in front of the horse and getting sex before marriage. And then something happened, and that man is not at the point, or you're not at the point, because sometimes I've had the man come in and say, I want to marry her, Pastor Cook. I love her. And she's like, no, that don't mean we need to get married. I ain't getting married. So the girls and the guy, either one of them, when the love is not there, they might say, no, I don't like you enough or love you enough to want to make you my husband or wife. I'm 75% infatuated. What do you expect from me? It ain't like I'm 75% in love with you. So let's abort the baby. Let's just get rid of it. Let's put it for, let's do anything but make a family. I'm not ready for that yet. If you're not ready to be married, you ain't ready to be having sex. Let's look at C, 50% love, 50% infatuation. The girl is pregnant. The guy says, I'll pay child support. I'm going to handle my responsibility. Well, you know, we've been dating like 6 months, a year. You know, I think it's a good time for us to go ahead and get married because she's not wanting to have the baby out of wedlock. She loves him. She wants to have the baby. He's like, you know, hold up now. You got to slow your roll, baby. I'll pay child support. I'm not a deadbeat dad. I'm going to support my child. Yeah, but are we going to be a family? There's things about you I don't like. Anybody know I'm telling the truth? Or y'all going to pretend like I ain't talking to folk know what I'm talking about? If it ain't happening, you happen to your friend. You know, you go to your friend and look in the mirror every morning, it may happen to your friend. That person be following you around. But you know of somebody this has happened to. Now, I'm trying to explain to you from the Word of God so you understand what's going on in the dynamic of the relationship and why God said love and marriage go together. You don't go out there on infatuation getting married and then you realize what it is if you're dating this infatuation. Don't dress up like we in love. We ain't in love. When we reach a point where we're both in love, we're going to want to be married. We're not going to touch and do sinful things. Love is not trying to do anything against God because God is love. The more God you got in relationship, how you got God in relationship when you got a relationship full of the devil? Every time you get together, you're knocking boots. That's an old phrase from the 80s. Every time you get together, you're doing the horizontal mambo. That's an old one from the 80s. Why are we doing? Well, you know, I love him, girl. I love him, and he loves me. Or normally they say, he said he loves me. That's exactly what. He said he loves you. I love him, and he said he loves me. You know what? Love is an action. Love is commitment. I almost pay no attention when people say they love you. Just look at what they do. Try and express your love with your mouth closed. Can that person count on you in the hard times? You are pregnant. Can you count on that person to be with you, to support you, to do it? Or that person going to say, well, you know, it's not really my child. Well, you know, why don't we just abort the baby, put it for adoption? Well, you know, I'll take care of it, but from afar, from a distance. Well, I thought we were all wonderful. If I hadn't told you I was pregnant, we'd be dating again tomorrow, next week. Now you even stop the dating. Because that's what happened. Because they like, whoa, baby involved. I will take care of my baby. But all of a sudden, the relationship ended. Because when there's too much infatuation, there's no glue to hold the relationship together, because love is the bond of the spirit that holds the relationship together. If it's not love there, it just doesn't hold together. So you got to go on, and if people have dated maybe a year and a half or so, I'm not putting exact numbers, depends on how quickly your relationship matures, but usually it's going to be a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. They get to the point where they may be, and they've dated communicatively, share time in church, share time in the Word. Talk about things that you get to know that person's heart. You get to know them. You can't love people you don't know. So you get to know them and you say, you know what? I know a lot about them. I know what I like and what I don't like, but I still like that person. I still like hanging around. I may or may not be ready to get married. Maybe not, but I really like this person, you know, and they're starting to show you love and be considerate and kind towards you. It's starting to get where it should get to. We're thinking a little bit about marriage, but then maybe you still have that 1 week moment and the girl gets pregnant. 75% love, 25% infatuation. What does the guy do then? What happens then? He says, I love you. Let's get married. Because he was already thinking about marrying you anyway. And even though this rushed it when they had a moment of indiscretion, let's just go ahead. I love you enough that I don't want you to have the shame of child out of wedlock. You know, I do love you anyway. You know, I'm not going to say I'm glad it happened, but let's get married. And she's, oh, wow, this is wonderful. He does love me. There's an action. There's a commitment, not just to take care of the child or no commitment. There's a commitment to her. I love you. I don't want to see you go through any kind of thing, and I love you, and we're going to get married, and let's get married. And of course, you need to go to premarital counseling and all that, because that doesn't mean you got good sense just because you got a baby. But it does mean at least he's at the point where he says, I love you enough that I will commit to you. See what I'm saying? Not going to happen at 25% and 50% and 0% love. But when you get around there, it gets like that. Now you have, let's look at E, 100% love, 0% infatuation, did not marry yet. What happens in the instance of her getting pregnant? What do you think happens? Can anybody guess? What? Marry somebody? I thought that's what they did one before. I give you a hint. There would be no pregnancy. There would be no pregnancy. If you love somebody, you don't have sex with them outside of marriage, because that's the amount of God you have in you and the amount of God you have before them. And God says no sex outside of marriage. So I would not put my girlfriend in that situation. I dated lots of girls at different times. It wasn't wild or anything. It was just, you know, not playing games in and out. But until you find out who you want, you might date different girls. You date somebody two or three times, they think it's a commitment. So that's the only girl I dated that many times. I married her. The rest of them, that ain't gonna work. Mm-mm. I don't like you. I don't like you. Your brother too big. I don't like you. I'm going, you know. One girl, I was like, I don't like your brother. I remember him from high school. That's a bully. I went out with her one time. I said, Cedric is your brother? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I ain't never call her again. Ever, ever, ever. I was like, that joker crazy. He and your family, I ain't marrying you because of him. It ain't like I love you. We went out one time. This thing is over. Wasn't no love there. But when you love somebody, you get yourself together spiritually. When you love somebody, you know what love is. When you love somebody, you lay down your desire for theirs. And I desire you badly, because it's natural for a man to want a girl he's attracted to and has been dating for a while. She and I dated almost 5 years to the day. We married in 1988, July 9th, and we met July 3rd, 5 years earlier. So we dated almost 5 years to the day. That's a long time. I didn't just want her the night before. I wanted her years before that. But I loved her enough that I wasn't going to do anything to get in a position where she or I would have a baby and have to make any of those decisions. So real love wouldn't be dealing with the issue of a girl being pregnant. And I know everybody's not there, not picking on everybody. Thank God I had a good pastor, had a good church, and thank God I listened and paid attention and meditated the word myself. I didn't want to do anything that would cause her to be ashamed like that, or me to be ashamed like that, because we going to church. We involved in the church. I don't want to embarrass me, God. We wanted to keep the testimony straight. And I loved her. I wanted her just like everybody else. My hormones work just like everybody else's. But I had to tell myself no. I had to put my flesh under, keep it under, put it in a box, throw the key away, stand on top of it, tell my friend to watch it. Don't let that flesh out. Because I wanted myself some Helen. That's natural. I always tell brothers, ain't nothing wrong with you wanting just man enough to control your desire and love her enough that you're not going to put her in that situation. And I hope to think that by handling my relationship like that, that moved me up on her scale of potential candidate for marriage. So when I asked her to marry me, I knew the answer before I asked. But if you ask somebody to marry you and you have no idea, you did it wrong. You did it all wrong. Guys do it all the time. Will you marry me? No. Ooh, that's cold. But she did the right thing. If the answer is no, the answer is no. And some guys just go out. I knew what the answer was going to be before I asked her. Because I knew how I behaved. I knew how I presented myself. I knew her. I knew she liked and disliked. And I knew as much as you could know from somebody. But we dated long enough to know each other. We were at the wedding, and we were at our wedding, and we were at the reception out somewhere in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. And Helen was throwing the bouquet. And I told him, I said, she's going to throw it right into the ceiling. She gonna throw it in the ceiling. And she did. She went back and she threw it right up to the ceiling. And then my dad or somebody said, you know her, don't you? I said, that's my baby. I said, I know her. She's not a stranger to me. And she knew me. She know like, oh my God, there's an opportunity to talk. Robert gonna get up. He gonna get up. If they ask him a question, he gonna get up and speak. You know, because she knew me. It's nice to know who you can marry. You know what I mean? That way you're not as disappointed afterwards. Folk who don't know it, you got to, oh, you surprised me. You did. You ain't ready to get married. Folks surprising you all the time. You're still learning them. You're infatuated. Do not get married while you're infatuated. You're rolling the dice. It's dangerous. Love and infatuation. Let's look at another example. Serious debilitating illness. This happens a lot because of the way people eat. There's a lot more people at some point are going to deal with a serious debilitating issue in their marriage. Somebody's probably going to have something serious happen. Doesn't have to, but it's likely just because of. I think they say about 2054, I think they said 70 or 80% of people who die will die of cancer. Natural causes already aren't natural. Most people die of something. Because people aren't eating right. So there's a good chance you're going to have somebody that's going to get some kind of disease, some kind of debilitating problem. So it's becoming very often with pastors where you're counseling people who one of them is now an invalid or one of them needs care, 24-hour care. Not just your parents anymore. It's your husband or your wife. And you might be only 40 years old. So you still want to be free and party. And here it is, you thinking in your mind, depending on where your love relationship is, do you have a 30-year debt sentence with this person left because you're young or what? So let's go and look at that real quick before we wind up. At point A, what happened to it? Oh, that's a children's thing. All right, if that's your child, you have that number, your child needs to have care. All right, you guys can take that down now. But at point A, if you got an individual where there's the debilitating illness, your spouse gets, I'm talking sick, where they need 24-hour care. And you really, that's a lot. If you're at A and you really got married on infatuation, let's say like the example with the guy who he had married his wife, and I think they've been married 1 or 2 years, and she had to have a double mastectomy because she contracted cancer, and the guy had to go to therapy because he wouldn't touch her. He said, I can't help myself. It disgusted him to look at the scar tissue. He wouldn't touch her sexually, and she's the same woman, feel exactly the same, but her breasts were gone. And that just messed with him. And I can understand how it would mess with a man who didn't love the woman, but loved her breast. If what you love is gone, love is gone. Right. He obviously did not love her because that's not going to happen to my wife ever, but I'm not going to love her any less. I'm not going to love her any more one way or the other. If she's like, oh, I got this problem, I said, you're beautiful, baby. You're still fine to me. I'm not going to have any problem with it at all because I wasn't in love with her breast. I'm rather fond of him, but I wasn't in love with him. Okay, brother liked what he liked. But I ain't gonna fall out. I didn't marry your body. I married you. I'm just being honest. Y'all don't mind, do you? I'm fond of them, but I ain't gonna break up over it. But if you got that situation, you got 100% infatuation because you all had that quick, that God put us together, the Lord did it. See, I saw her across the room. She saw me. I just knew immediately by the Spirit that we were gonna be together. And 3 weeks later, we are getting married. Ran off to Vegas or something. And then something happens within a year. And it's like, the guy was complaining. He's like, I don't mean to be like this. I do love her. Really, I do love her. It's just, it bothers me. And, you know, and she's just feeling totally rejected. You can imagine somebody feel. Even though they're married, that guy's infatuated because he didn't have enough love to be happy and to be able to touch her and be able to hold her because just the whole thought repulsed him. And I understand that would happen because if I walk up to somebody and you walk up and you dating somebody and you walk up to a girl and she look like a baboon, you could be, oh. I ain't gonna have nothing about it. Girl, that, you know, it may have been blind date till I saw her, but it's a through date now. I'm out of here. You know, that's the way you are when you don't have any love. You walk up, somebody said you want blind date, and somebody just horrendous to you. Girl, walk like this. You're like, yeah, I got to go right now. I got somewhere to be. Where you got to be? Somewhere other than here, because that girl look like an orangutan. I'm out of here. With that, no, I'm out of here. That's not unexpected, is it? Because you see people hook you up with, you're like, no, I ain't no way. I ain't even going out with her. Well, if you're infatuated, that doesn't mean you run off on a whirlwind roller coaster ride, get married, and then you pop up, marry them, and find out they still repulse you like that. But he married this girl. That's hurtful. But she married him. And it wasn't on love. And people are always suffering the consequences of bad decisions. That's why you need to be wise as a serpent. Be wise in this world. Let's go to point B. Point B, serious debilitating illness. He's just going to abandon the spouse. He's just going to leave. It's like, you know, I can't touch you. I can't take this. If it's 100% factuation, I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me. But I'm sorry. I got to leave. Just abandon the spouse. They married you. That's your husband, your wife. They didn't try and get that illness, and you're just going to abandon them? Walk off. I can't take it. And they even feel bad they did it, but they still leave. Because there's no love to hold them together in that relationship. You got point B. He will leave the spouse in a nursing home. Well, you know, I did marry and all, but I ain't going to spend all these years with you. Boom, they're in a nursing home. Nah, they take care of them, visit you the first week and once the next month, and then every 6 months, then they just don't come. Act like they ain't married to you no more, get a divorce, and just leave you in a nursing home. We're assuming you don't have family and stuff. But we're married. We made a vow to each other. Yeah, but I wasn't expecting all this stuff. I didn't know that was going to happen. What's happened? He's not committed. She's not committed. They're still high infatuation of relationship, but they're married. But they got married too soon. Love and marriage go together, not infatuation and marriage. Because it's not going to be the same. It's a counterfeit. 50-50, 50 love, 50 infatuation. She or he has a debilitating illness. What does the person do? They regretfully care for the person. You know, they talk to their friends, mama, it's just so hard taking care of him. You know, he just got so many needs. You know, mama, I don't mean no harm, but I just wish I'd have never married him. You know, I wish I'd have never married her. She did, you know, this is just hard on me. They do it because there's enough commitment to the person that this is my spouse, but they are I really wish this didn't happen in a bad way. It's causing me a problem. It's a burden for me to take care of them. They regretfully care for the person. Then you move on to 75% love. The commitment is stronger. The infatuation is weaker when this thing happens, this tragic thing happens. What do they do then? At point D, they're going to dutifully care for the spouse. They're not complaining. They're not nagging. They may not be thrilled about it. Oh, opportunity to love. They ain't going there, but they don't have a problem with it. And you see people lovingly take care of their spouse who needs help. Or I should say, you see them, before we get to lovingly, we see them take care of them. Dutifully. They're not complaining. They're not happy about it, but they're not resentful or complaining. They're like, hey, life happens and I made this commitment and I'm here. I'm committed and I'm not complaining. I love them. But then you got the one where there's all love, high love and infatuation past. Husband and wife been together 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, whatever, but they're at the point where the relationship is love. It doesn't matter. You see people do that. I mean, they lovingly care for that person. And you look like, girl, that's got to be hard on you. It's not a problem. Not a problem. You know, and they talk to him like, well, how you doing? Let me wipe your mouth. And you see people give that kind of care. We used to volunteer in a nursing home and ministry for 3.5 years. I was over nursing home ministry at the church. And you see people who react with their parents and their elder and their sick people one way. And you see people reacting another way. And you know the love exists in those relationships. And people may run the gamut on any of these, depends on how much love and how much infatuation and what proportion they're in. People will run the gamut. But you see, love doesn't just happen, and love is not anything you fall in. Love is people who have dated you and been with you long enough that you see evidence of the commitment they have for you. And that's when they reach that evidence of commitment that you're satisfied with, that's when you consider marrying that person. You do not consider marrying that person when you don't know. Or you don't consider marrying them when you feel so wonderful around them and so excited about how they make you feel. No. Feelings are not an issue. Well, Pastor, I ain't going to marry them I don't feel good about. I said, well, marry everybody to make you feel good then. Just go marry them. See how that work out for you. There's a whole lot of people marry people because of the way they make them feel. And first of all, don't nobody make you feel anything. You interpret things in your brain. And next week, we'll talk a little bit about the brain chemistry and a little bit, just a hint about the things to go on in the brain. You literally are doped up, self-medicated. When you see what you like and something triggers, want it. And you stay with that thought, oh, they're this and they're that. And you hold them in your mind because it keeps releasing that. And you literally are doped up and in a psychosis. And if you get married until you come back to the earth, you're going to wake up one day. And you're going to wonder what happened. It's just like being drunk for 4 months, and then next you know, you wake up, and you marry. You snap out of it. Because like I said, people say love may be blind. I said, well, marriage is a definite eye-opener. It will knock your eyes wide open. You will be saying, I was blind, but now I see. And you need to see before you go do something that a blind person would do. And infatuation is rationally and logically and intelligently blind. You heard what that girl said. It's not rational. Infatuation is all, I can't live without you. I'd rather kill you than live without you. That's irrational. I can't live without you. You can live without anybody. What kind of statement is that? A statement of irrational person. So I told you, when people start talking about, I love you so much, I love you, I just love you, I can't do without you, can't wait till next minute I see you, you say, that's nice, but that's a little dangerous. You know, you need to see somebody about that, because you're putting pressure on me. I can't be all that to you. No, but you are. You're everything I ever wanted, everything I ever needed. You start walking back slowly towards the door, and, you know, just stay calm. Everything's going to be all right. Don't make any sudden moves. And then as soon as you got to do it, run and don't ever come back. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. And infatuation can be dangerous. Next week, we talk a little bit about some of them things people do when they start getting the raping and all this stuff off infatuation because you got it out of sync. But we're going to go ahead and close in prayer now. I'm going to close the service here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we do thank you for the word today, and we thank you for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you have stirred people up. I thank you, Father, that you've opened up our eyes and given us understanding. I thank you, Lord, that people will look into their future relationships, their present relationships, and understand what love is so they can apply that, Father, so they can bring that to bear in their relationship, that they can love one another as you've loved the church, Father, and as Christ loves the church, Father. Lord, I pray that you give us a revelation of you and the love that you're capable of so that we can do that, that our marriages will be sweet, that they will be beautiful, that we'll be two people competing to love each other, not competing to take from each other and to demand of each other, Father, but to just give to one another. We'll both be fulfilled, Father. We thank you so much for your revelation. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love himself, ministers to every person who opens their heart to receive the love of God. And we pray that he brings us to remembrance the word of God concerning love. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement say, amen.